I like a Tom Jones feel. 11 a.m. in the Southland on a live imaging Tuesday on the Travis and Sliwa show. Gosh, Tom could entertain, and I'm going to entertain like that in Mandy's 3. We all are. Vote now at ESPNLA.com.
Vote often.
I got the short cable today on the headphones, so I got to be careful.
Yeah, but you adjusted.
I can adjust.
Yeah, you adjusted.
Just more pelvis, less body.
That's what most people were thinking.
That's going to be the title of my book.
Not awful.
Less pelvis, more body?
No, more pelvis,
more
less
pelvis,
body.
Less body. Okay. What's on the cover art for that book?
Well, that could be.
Number one bestseller, more pelvis.
That's amazing.
Should just be the short wire. Bestseller.
That's it. On your cover, just the short wire. That's it.
It could be the picture that you guys witnessed when Cappy a few weeks ago, when Sonato and Captain Mornings, when you witnessed the morning mount.
Yeah, what happened there?
Which you could vote on for bit of the year.
I didn't bring it up.
You just asked. You asked a follow-up question.
That's right. No, I basically brought it up then.
It was because Cappy came in here and did a whole bit about switching producers.
Okay.
And that was not...
Oh,
we did not
like that.
Sit
the portal.
Yeah, we did not sit and have a pre-show meeting like, you know what bit would be good today? No.
Yeah.
That was Cappy being Cappy.
And then...
And that causes conversations.
Who initiated the...
Well, I came in here to hit him over the head with something, which I do often. Uh-huh. Not in a physical, traumatic way. Just
and I got Three Stooges way? Like,
yeah. Yeah.
And then he tackled you.
Well, he went for... No, I actually initiated Mount, too.
Yeah, I was going to say Chris was
I
the
went
instigator.
After. I tried to pull him down, and I got him down. What'd you say?
Nothing.
Chris on top.
Nothing.
Was he on top or no? I don't remember.
Oh, I never got him in a full position. So we were both kind of wrestling. And then...
Okay. So you guys both on your, like, side.
As they say, when you do these sort of brawls, don't give up your back. And I gave up my back too quick, and then... Cap was ready for this.
Cap was on
the
it.
Picture of him coming up. He looks like the Ultimate Warrior, winning the WWE Championship belt that night.
That's right.
Cap was so into the Morning Mount. But by the way, the reason I mentioned Morning Mount, you could vote for that for bit of the year at ESPNLA.com.
Don't say why did you bring that up. I needed clarity. I forgot.
Did we have a bit on the bit of the year?
No. The committee didn't select one. And I was like, guys, where's the Travis and Sliwa show bit? And they're like, I don't know. So you know how you can make up for it?
Yeah.
Vote this show as show of the year. Host of the year, Travis Rogers. Man of the people. And apparently Ireland did something yesterday on the air to the Circle of Trust.
Mm.
I think he's been calling them the Circle of Trolls.
Yes, he did.
And they are fighting back. So I don't see... I see a new play-by-play award going to either JB or
JB or Denholm.
Here's what happened. Ireland thought that it's been quote-unquote rigged for all these years, that he changed the host of the year every year.
But he always says this as his dismissing thing. If I was the one who was in control, they would have never been show of the year.
Yeah.
Out of the gate. He would never win knowledgeable host
every
year.
They were show of the year last year.
They were show of the year the
first year.
Mm-hmm.
And Mason won craziest host.
Now, that's a good point that you would have done that against them, but then that also draws to you kind of thinking, playing a little chess here and not checkers.
Hmm.
Okay.
Kind of knowing that you had to do it a little bit.
But just saying that, do you realize the amount of time I don't have in a given day? So now I'm controlling votes?
That's a lot of time. That's not good.
No, but to kind of drive Ireland away from that, I have to see some of the results.
He has to make the graphics.
So I see the numbers, I see the data, and it's there.
And I don't see it. So I don't know when I open the envelopes, or like in your case, Momo opened the envelopes.
Yep.
I don't know. Because why would I want to know? How does that make the show fun? That's what I don't think Ireland understands, the aspect of show business, like putting on these shows. If you tell us show time.
Got it really quick.
You got that?
Yep. Yep.
Okay. How
doesn't understand show business.
Yep. Got it. How does it make the show better
put
if I'm rigging
there.
It?
Just quote it there.
Well, do you think Ireland, a guy at the radio, let's talk about the people that understand the showbiz aspect and not just this is a sports show.
Mm-hmm.
Does Ireland come to the top of your mind of, that guy gets it? Now, he gets it a little bit. He gets it a lot.
Star effing
30 years. 30 years doing it.
No doubt. But if he knew
if
he knew what this radio station would become, what it currently is, I don't know if he would have signed up for the latest.
Well, that's a different can of worms.
And I love John. As a broadcaster, John is amazing. You want a guy to do a live read 30 seconds dead on and make it amazing? That's John. But I don't know why he does this bit every year. And people think it irritates me. It irritates me because a lot of people take the Mandy's seriously. Like the people that put a lot of work, taking myself out of it. Jorge does hours. I mean, 100 hours of work, probably, that is put in. Our social media team, all the planning, the people that make all of our graphics and anything.
Ahead,
and our listeners care about it tremendously. Obviously, that's why we've sold it out 2 years in a row. So it's just, you know, that's we're just gonna, Ireland's
rallying up the base of the circle of trolls is never a good idea.
That's not a good idea.
Don't worry. We're going to get to the bottom of it. 1 o'clock, we're going to get to the bottom of it.
Like 12:55. I think we're going to get the dump done early today.
The moment he comes in, we'll go right to Supercross Talk. And
works for
that
me.
Gives us a little bit extended
and what
time
is the quote that I said?
He does not understand show business.
No, I said he doesn't understand the showbiz aspect of it.
When he comes in, US,
I think
start,
my quote's more
it's
accurate.
Still same thing.
No,
same
he
thing.
Obviously same understands showbiz. He's part of the Lakers. Understand the showbiz aspect of everything. Or the showbiz aspect of the radio station.
I'll add aspect.
And then we can ask about the circle of trust, what happened there. We could put that in there as well.
Well, that was kind of my thing at 1:15. You guys are kind of blowing my whole...
No, we got it. First, by the time... you have so much time to worry about other stuff now. We'll get this one out of the way. Then 1:15, you'll have something different.
All right. So thank you for filling us in. My point being is I think that two categories he always locks up. Most knowledgeable host.
Most knowledgeable.
Yeah. Those could be in play now. Those could be in play.
Well, he's got like, you know, it's like Tony Gwynn winning a batting title. They just, he got a bunch of them at some
six
point. Just, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but I still want to win personality of the year.
Yeah, I think you did win personality.
I won that last year.
Yeah, you want to back to back?
I want to go back to back. Or most hated. But I think the Mason Ireland Reddit page is purposely not going to vote for me to like stick it to me.
They don't want you to win it.
Yeah. Which, by the way, the fact that we're even giving it out, I'm excited about.
You like that award.
I think it's a good, like it can't all be, you know, butterflies and sugar bees.
Sugar
no, and
bees.
Somebody who wins most hated.
Aren't they honeybees?
Probably.
Which bee was it?
Your brain. It takes about a week for your brain to get used to not having carbohydrates.
Yeah.
Somebody wins most hated.
Well, somebody's going to win.
They're probably, like, they feel good about it.
Now, if I don't win, because they work against me in this case.
Mm-hmm.
The other candidates are Corporate Greg, Mason Ireland, Shadano Cap.
We're not on that list either.
Do you wish you were on that list?
Sure. Why not?
Next year. Next year.
Berg got to
be more of a
feel,
Trav.
I wanted some of the categories to be a little bit more compressed so that it brings a little bit more action. You know what
compressed
I mean?
Compressed how?
Compressed like the list isn't so long.
Oh, I got you. Brian Cranston, so then I say, Producer Emily.
Right. By the way, is that not like a highlight of your life?
Yeah, I have a poster of him in my room.
I was going to say, Breaking Bad is your show. That is your show that he's reading your name, and if he reads you as a winner?
Well, we'll see.
Jorge, I don't know. Because Jorge is in charge of how it all looks in the video, and I was like, so do we need Cranston to cut some new stuff? He's like, Cranston's out this year. I said, okay.
Oh, jeez.
But not that Cranston's making that decision. Cranston's in.
Wow.
It's producer Jorge
saying, no,
Jorge! Hold on, Cranston. No, hold on. I said, I got
Jorge going to war with Cranston.
No. I said, I got the stuff from Cranston already. We just need some re-recordings.
Jorge saying, no.
Wow.
No more Cranston.
He doesn't know show business.
Jorge, yeah. Just,
do you not understand the show business aspect of the new radio station?
We could use that for Mason later, that why Jorge said
wow.
that.
Wow. I did not.
What'd you think of your boy yesterday?
It was about what I expected.
Okay.
I thought you did say, like...
Who is his boy?
You might have said four innings. I don't know how many runs you said,
I said Walker Buehler making his debut, I said, look, if he pitches four or five innings and gives up three or four runs, I think that's probably, generally speaking, a decent way to start it. And that's almost exactly what he did. Four innings, three runs, struck out four guys. You knew he was totally out of whack when he botched that play at first base. That's when you're like, okay,
He hasn't played in 22 months,
and his emotions are high, and he's just not sharp, right? Yeah. Like Freeman gives him that perfect little feed, and he just fumbles it and drops it. And you could just tell he's just out of sorts. He just was not what he was. Whether he'll get there or not, time will tell. He wasn't anywhere near it.
Can I ask you this question? Are you more encouraged or discouraged?
Neither. I'm neither encouraged nor discouraged. I guess if the needle,
if
it has to tip one way a little bit more encouraged.
You should be.
Yeah, I think so because the velocity was there.
Yep.
And he is healthy. Like there's no report that, oh, he's experiencing arm soreness or anything. The velocity hit 96, 97 a few times and he's healthy. So that's encouraging. He couldn't put anybody away. He really struggled with his command. And there was a cool moment between Hershiser and Kershaw in the middle of the game. You know, sometimes Kershaw will put on the headset and they'll have a conversation in the middle of the game. And right as they're getting ready for the inning to end, Kershaw asks Oral on the air, and it was cool because it was almost like you were just eavesdropping on a conversation between two Dodger greats. Mm-hmm. And Kershaw says to Hershiser, "Hey, Oral, what are you seeing on that changeup?" And Kershaw says, "That last one looked like it had a little depth." And Oral was just straight stuff at that point. He goes, "It's not there yet. It's only so-so." And you could tell it was one of those real recognizes real moments where they're talking about another real one in Walker Buehler, and it just wasn't quite what you would hope it would be yet. So I think that's the important part, yet.
Just think about the curiosity of those two. I think there's a reason why that conversation turned to, hey, this is just Spectrum, and it's Kershaw and Orals. You know, I get it. That's all there. But it turned to... you're one of the best in the business that's ever done it. You're one of the best in the business that's ever done it. We're watching somebody that's coming off double Tommy John.
Yeah.
And we also, you know, a lot of Dodger fans, whatever your era of Dodgers baseball is, Walker Buehler is a part of that era.
Oh, sure.
Whether you're young or you're old. And Buehler has been a complete baller, came up through the, you know, obviously the Dodger system. I think that's the piece where listening to these two talk about it and Oral saying, "It's not there yet." This is why I said, are you more encouraged or discouraged? Because I think the mere fact that he was back on the mound, that he threw 70-something pitches, that there was some velocity there, 96, whatever it was. Yeah. I think he even clocked 97 at one point. I think that in itself was a great sign for Walker Buehler. Now, that shouldn't sell you or me, hey, watch out, in a couple of months, Buehler's
time
back. Time will tell. It doesn't help, too, that I think playing Miami in your first game, I think, was strategic. Why the Dodgers said, who they just play on Sunday?
Right.
Atlanta. They're playing the Braves, and then the next day they got Miami. Two polar opposite teams. I'm sure strategically they're like, let's ease this guy back.
An easier entry point for sure. I just loved, because you could almost feel Kershaw's brain going, hey, are you seeing the same thing I'm seeing? And Kershaw's like, I am.
Are we mic'd up?
Yeah.
Should we have the conversation now?
It was so good, and it was so deeply baseball nerdy. This is ridiculous, but I'll say it anyway. I literally called Susan in from the other room. I'm like, you got to come hear this. This is the coolest thing I've heard in I don't know how long. I texted my friend Eddie Elazade from Rotolo, and I'm like, dude, did you hear that? How cool was that? Because it was a Hall of Famer talking to one of the greatest Dodger pitchers of all time, and they're like, what do you think? And they're like, not yet. And it was awesome to hear it. And they're both like, yeah, it's coming along. And oh, that was a slider right there. Yeah. He's getting a little bit closer. But when they had, that was the most real moment of the whole night where they're both like, yeah, he's fine. He's healthy. He's good. But that's not the Walker Buehler that we've come to know. And we're going to have to wait a minute. And hopefully he gets there. But as far as first steps go, pretty darn good.
How much time until Susan was like,
she's like, that's it? Did you not see that?
I'm going to go into another room. There's some storage.
I believe she called me a dork and walked out of the room.
I think she was like, I'm organizing the sombreros.
It was awesome. I loved every. And you know what else he did? You know, we'll talk about this when we come up, because when we come back, I should say. Kershaw was talking about Ohtani last night, and he did something that you don't hear very often about a Hall of Fame player. That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, see, Ireland would love this song.
I love this song.
Ireland's probably singing this song. Again, what I said was, John Ireland, I love him to death. One of the best broadcasters we have. He has decided to take on the circle of, he called them trolls, I didn't. The circle of trust from the afternoon show community. And these people, by the way, they're part of the Mason Island Mafia. They're part of the Travis and Sluba community. That
did
is no longer.
Happened?
Apparently,
was there something
he's
specific?
Calling them the circle of trolls. I don't know why. They're big fans of John. They love Lakers basketball. So he has taken them on. And what I said was sometimes when John brings up, oh, Morales rigs the Mandy's. If I rigged the Mandy's, he would have never seen one. That I digress. But he doesn't understand sometimes the showbiz aspect. Now, if I called him right now and said, hey, man, why are you doing this? He would say, Chris, it's a bit. You love bits. And in John's way, this is a bit.
I was going to say, he's not wrong about
he's
that.
He's not. Like when he did the whole campaign for 2 weeks to get me off the show. That was a bit that him and I were texting about for 2 weeks.
Technically, I mean,
listen, he would definitely want me off the show if he could. But his hands don't reach that high, you know what I mean? Or arms. But taking on our listeners that are like our devoted fans that support everything, I don't know if that's a great bit or a great play. But much like you said, it's your life, Sliwa. If you want to go up to Lake Arrowhead at 7 o'clock on Saturday night, 21 hours.
I'll take the middle of the sleep. Let's call it 18.
Hey, but you're asleep. You're not doing anything.
That's your call.
Do you have that sleepwalking sickness? I'll count it if you have that.
Wait, I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
You said you don't want him to take on the circle of trust.
I didn't say I don't want him to. I think it's creating. I always say? It creates engagement.
But you said that's not a good idea.
I don't think that's a great idea.
Okay. What's the difference between the Mason and Island Reddit page? Those are listeners of the station.
But those listeners, again, those are...
those are listeners of the station.
First of all, when Mason a couple weeks ago said that those people are not fans of the station, I told him he's wrong. The Mason and Island Reddit page people are some of our biggest fans. They listen nonstop. That's why they can complain about everything I do.
So what's
I
the
love those
then?
People too. I would say that as far as I know, now again, that's an anonymous page, so there might be people that come to all of our events that are in there, probably. But a lot of those people don't seem to be like supporters when I say coming to the events, coming to those things.
Like penis thumbs.
Possibly. For all I know, Crypto Ray is penis thumbs on the Reddit page and comes to everything
don't
and supports
put your
everything.
Thumbs up, Al.
So all I'm saying
people
is
people know. Like
I love all the groups, even the ones that hate me, I love them. That's why I engage with them.
Very loyal listeners.
I don't go on the Reddit page to engage because that's not really what any of us should be doing is going into a Reddit page that's, you know, anonymous and stuff and posting. I don't think that that's a good idea as people that are
when you go on,
staffed
do you
by
go
the
on as Chris Morales?
I don't go on to the
you don't Christopher. Go on at all.
Christopher so, Morales. A couple of the Circle of Trust members, they will fill me in. Alex downstairs will sometimes go, oh, the Reddit page is going nuts.
Okay.
Whatever. I find it amusing. I ran a promo the other day as the most, I'm the most hated. I have been voted most hated on the Reddit page. But yes, to your point, Slee.
They're loyal.
Put up a poll.
They are very loyal listeners. They're supporting the radio station by listening. Even when they say they hate it and they don't listen, they listen. I don't know if they come out and support our events and stuff, like the Circle of Trust or the Travis and Sliwa community or the Mason Island Mafia, frankly.
Travis and Sliwa All-Stars.
All-Stars, right.
They give out pins. Come
they
on.
Do. I still have it.
Yeah.
I think it's still on my suit.
So I'm all for anybody that takes the time to post about this radio station, negatively or positively, I love you.
I think here's the more important question. Trav brought up, I don't know if it was late last week, that you were annoyed of his suit at the Mandy's because then you're not able to figure out which
you got frustrated.
That is true. So,
okay,
I wore the same suit to both Mandy's.
I think Jorge can obviously deals with all the footage, so does Carwell, our whole team. When I see a clip, I know what year it's from based on the lighting, based on the suit, whatever.
Yeah.
Travis, when you just see shots of him, it's like, well, was this from one or two?
Well, I wore a tie to one and not the other.
2007 or 2021?
I wore a tie last year. I did not wear a tie year one. Everything else is exactly the same.
By the way, this year, I might just wear my Yacht Rock, my Yachtly crew.
Your sailor suit?
I might just wear that outfit.
It's a good idea.
It's not bad.
Because again, first year I was more, you know, it was about like, now I'm a little looser.
There may be a second suit in the horizon for me and the Mandy's.
You're going to change suits?
Perhaps.
Wow.
Here's why.
Is a buddy letting you borrow a suit?
No.
Is Beckner getting in there?
Brian's suit would come up to about my knees.
Yeah, but he's a little guy.
But I have a suit from the only other time in my life when I was in shape that I might sort of be able to fit into.
Oh, okay. So
we'll see.
This is why you've been working out so hard.
No, it's not.
I'm
like, look,
there's
exactly. At home when he walks in, it just says Mandy's 3, and it says there's exactly 67 days remaining, and he rips off a page in a glass case.
Now, radio.
There's one person that's come close to why I have committed to this, and you're the person. That's it. And we'll leave it at that because it is what it is. But the crisis that I'm currently dealing with will be in full bloom by the time we get in.
Oh, because you're too skinny now.
I mean, Jupiter's in retrograde, so
well,
we already figured that
there's
out.
There's a lot going on in the household. And by the middle of June, when the Mandy's are, they will still be taking place. So we'll go from there.
Wow. Yeah. Radio Michael Fan tweeted, saying, I said this yesterday, folks are walking right into Ireland's trap. He is getting everyone fired up. If he wins an award, it's great. If he doesn't, he will say, I told you so, it's rigged. I don't believe the Mafia or COT or All-Stars subscribe to Ireland's opinion.
Will they be storming 800 at West Olympic?
But here's the thing. You can't say it's rigged when you've won awards already.
Multiple.
Right. The thing that would have been most amazing for Mandy's one, if I was rigging it, would be not for their show to win, would have been... Actually,
quite frankly,
our show.
Yeah.
At that point in time, that would have been the most like, oh my God, this is rigged. Mason Ireland winning show of the year. And by the way, last year they lost it by what, 10 votes? It was very close.
Was it that close?
Yeah, it was really close.
The only category that was really a blow away was the personality of the year.
You made sure to check the data.
No, they showed us the data at the end.
All right.
Also, I also want to run it back. What you said about me not wanting Cranston, that's a lie.
No, no. So he said,
No, Chris, lie. Are you sure?
I don't lie. I enrich for radio purposes. But this was, Jorge said, Cranston's out. I said,
Jorge, actually, I heard him say, guys, Breaking Bad was a long time ago.
Enrich for radio purposes. That's what we're going with?
Listen.
Okay.
We have to create engagement.
Ah.
We have to do show business.
Okay. Enrich for, I'm using that. Okay.
All right. You going to, you may go. You're not going. You going to the Dodger game tonight?
So yesterday, Cappy and I in the morning.
Shohei's struggling. Nothing to watch there.
He invited me. And he goes, oh, Greg and I are going to the game. You should come. And I said, that sounds like it's a you and Greg thing. I don't want to step on any toes. He goes, no, I need you there. I said, So then I mentioned to Greg.
He can't spend an evening with Greg by himself?
When Greg and I were talking later on, because yesterday I was in the home office.
Greg says the same thing to him. He's like,
I said, hey, Greg, by the way, Cappy invited me to the game tomorrow night. Silence for 10 seconds. Then he goes, well, yeah, you should totally come.
Ooh.
And I go,
Greg showed his hand, didn't he?
Yeah. I go, well, listen, it sounds like it's a you and Cappy thing. Don't worry about it. Then there was the whole drama of whether the Dodgers were even going to give us credentials. Because at the beginning of the afternoon show, Greg was like starting a war on air that the Dodgers weren't giving us credentials and that we weren't going to even talk Dodgers. Now, here's the key.
It's the Marlins.
Well, they didn't give us credentials for Monday because he asked, all due respect, for a couple social people. And again, that's fine. But when you put Scott Kaplan and Greg Bergman on the request for today, they're known. I'm just being honest. They're known personalities in Los Angeles. So the Dodgers approved that one. But that didn't come down to like an hour into the afternoon show. So there was a war going on. But they're only going to give us two. So I'm out. So I have to buy like a get-in.
Okay, and I just checked the prices. They're $11.
Go on the Game Time app. Buy a ticket.
That's $11 bucks that I'm giving to those stinking people that won't fire Dave Roberts.
Then you gotta park.
I'm not parking separately. I'm going with them.
Or you can take the Dodger Express. Look at me, a proponent of public transit.
I don't know. I'm tired. I kind of want to just go back to East Central tonight, get some work done, get out of here at 8 o'clock. Maybe go.
But the nice news is you can go for a few innings and still do all. You could pull.
Well, they're going to have to, right? Because Cap was going till 7, so you're not going to get in there.
No, we're on the air till 6:30 tonight. We've got playoff basketball at 6:30.
Oh.
Who's playing tonight?
The Thunder
Celtics,
and
Dallas.
Yeah.
So game one, we will have game one, Thunder.
Dallas.
6:30 p.m. Right here on your home for the NBA playoffs.
Glued to your set, Slee?
Well, yeah, he's not going to go to Arrowhead tonight because of...
Yeah, I'm curious about that matchup. I like that matchup.
Do you like it?
I think Dallas wins, but I like the matchup.
Yeah.
I'll be watching the Dodgers and Marlins again.
Padres, Cubs.
That's not bad.
No, it was good. It was good yesterday.
Your boy Luis Arraez had 4 hits in his debut.
I know.
Four singles.
You're not crazy about them.
It's fine.
They need a dude like that. They need a guy just to get on base.
Another shortstop.
They have a guy that's going to get a lot of hits and not necessarily impact the game all that much. Yeah.
They're going to need other dudes to impact him.
It's a lot of singles. Which they might.
Yeah.
Which they might. You know what they need, Slee? They need an Ohtani. They should go find a guy that just hits, you know, what was he, 9 for his last 13 with
something
four
like
home
that.
Runs?
It's something stupid like that. He's not even hitting them out. Like, these are not, that barely went over the fence.
The one he hit, the second one he hit on Sunday was the longest home run at Dodger Stadium in 10 years. Okay, the one he hit yesterday was nearly as far. Not quite, but nearly.
440 or
something. It made that explosion sound that only he makes when he makes contact with the ball. That's very same interview that we were talking a minute ago about with Kershaw and Hershiser. They asked Kershaw about Ohtani, and he did the thing that you don't see very often. Kershaw is a deadlock cinch, first ballot, if not unanimous, near unanimous selection of the Hall of Fame.
If he doesn't get in, it's because of Altman.
He's going, and he is not the best pitcher of the last 20 years. He's not third, right? He's one of those guys. And you could tell when they asked about Ohtani, he couldn't put it into words. Ohtani is on the next level. Like, Mookie Betts is going to the Hall of Fame. You can talk about what Mookie Betts does. Freddie Freeman's going to the Hall of Fame. You can talk about, he's got great back control. He's a good defensive. Ohtani does stuff that doesn't make sense. And Kershaw was trying to articulate what that meant is. And he said something that I thought was really interesting. He's going to hit your mistakes out of the ballpark. But that's what major league hitters do. What he does is he can make you execute your pitch perfectly and still hit you out of the ballpark. That's stuff that doesn't make sense. That's a whole different level that even he can't comprehend.
Do you think for the first time since Ohtani has been a Dodger, we're starting to kind of have those similar moments it used to have when he was an Angel? Where now I think even if you're not affiliated with the Dodgers, even if you're not, if you're just a baseball fan, you're like, hey, did you see what Ohtani did on this specific day? Hey, did you see what Ohtani's did over the weekend? Hey, did you see Ohtani got another one that was 460 feet? Hey, you know, Ohtani hit two home runs, or Ohtani tied the game against the Braves. He's starting to have those. I think, you know, you were talking about this maybe a week ago, 2 weeks ago. Here's what he's batting.
You want some numbers?
Well, here's where he's batting. Here's his batting average. Here's how many home runs he has. Here's this. This is where he is. But with runners in scoring position, this is kind of an odd one.
Yep.
In the last week, I don't know what those numbers are, but whatever they are, I'm sure they're
here's
a lot
where we
different.
Are. We're a month and a half into the season, basically. Mm-hmm. Shohei Ohtani is first in all of baseball, not just in the National League, in all of baseball. He is first in total bases with 103. The next closest is 84. Okay, so he's blowing away the field. He's number one in slugging. The next closest is more than 100 points behind him. He's number one in batting average. He's number one in home runs. He's number one in OPS with over 1,100. He's number two in on-base percentage. He's number two in WAR. Keep in mind, in WAR, he doesn't play defense. So he can't gain any defensive points
your
in
mic
this.
Doesn't even know how crazy it is. Your mic can't WAR understand the numbers.
WAR is the stat that takes together.
Yeah. No. They get
offense and defense together. He doesn't play defense because he's a designated hitter, and he's second.
Stupid.
He's ninth in stolen bases. He's sixth in RBIs. So he's in top 10 in literally
every category.
And he's first in doubles.
Mm-hmm.
He's first in doubles, total bases, slugging, on base OPS, average home runs. Number two in WAR. Number two in on base percentage. Six in RBIs. 9 in stolen bases. That's stupid.
If you put him tonight in the Mavs Thunder game, he'd have 11 rebounds.
No, they'll probably bench him tonight because the math says to bench him.
That's awesome.
What the hell?
Take Muncy out.
Hey, who hit 3 home runs last night? Him. Okay, sit him down.
Sit him down.
Math
right
says
here.
No.
Right over here. Have him hang out with us.
You know, I get it. Baseball has changed. There's new baseball. There's analytically driven baseball. This is not the equation on the chalkboard in Goodwill Hunting to be solved. Okay, this is a sport that's fun. How about we let the guys that hit home runs hit more home runs? Does that seem like a good idea? Stupid. Factor Caps coming up next. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hey, guys.
Aloha.
Aloha. We never got into it, but me and Travis got into an astrology conversation last Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Aloha. I was trying to read why his certain star sign might be feeling certain things.
Yes.
We got into it a little bit.
Yes.
All right, so...
Didn't help me feel any better, by the way.
Yesterday was the Met Gala, and it obviously includes a ton of really famous people, people that you maybe don't know, but high fashion is key there. So... all the Succession boys were there. So it was Matthew McFadden, who plays Tom, and Kieran Culkin, who plays Roman, and then Jeremy Strong, who plays
Kendall.
So all three boys were there. And throughout the entire series, even in the off season of the filming, they all had clean shaven faces. And then at the Met Gala, every single one of them had a big, bushy beard that was both fashionable, but they definitely had a different look than their Succession looks. So I don't know this for certain, but I assume that they had a part in their contract that they had to be clean shaven for Succession purposes.
Were they playing for the Yankees?
Yeah.
Literally.
I mean, basically.
Was
Succession
it Johnny
is
Damon?
The Yankees of, the, of, yeah. Of HBO. So that in mind, we've all been in a place where, you know, you're not allowed to do something. You're not allowed to, I don't know, smoke cigarettes. You're not allowed to drink. You're not allowed to grow a beard, whatever. So you've ever done something even harder when you were finally able to do it? Trav, fact or cap?
Fact. So when one of my previous employers, we didn't have a dress code, but we had an understanding that everybody would dress a certain way. Mm-hmm. And it was not quite formally, but it was far more formally than I would choose given my own
business life.
But slacks, hard shoes, collars, like nice stuff. And once I was not in that environment, I don't think I've put that stuff on since. It's just, it's not
except
me.
Except for the Mandy's.
Like if I'm going out to a party or a wedding or something, I don't mind getting dressed up. I actually like getting dressed up. But to go to work every day, I like my hoodies and I like my jeans. That's kind of what I enjoy. So yeah, for sure. The second I was out of that, because they shot me out of a cannon, I put my jeans back on.
Al?
Fact. I don't have to go too far. That side to this side. And I think, you know, when I was on the business side, the partnership side, I'm not telling you had to wear suits. And by the way, there's a lot that has changed over there. Management has changed. Ownership has changed. So whatever the structure was before is different than it is today. You were wearing slacks. You were wearing nice shoes. You were wearing a dress shirt. And that's how you were coming into work. And that's fine. It's completely okay. It wasn't like the worst thing in the world, but it's also uncomfortable, not nearly as comfortable. Came over to this side. And it was like, yeah, I'm not putting that on unless I have to.
Right.
And it's not, again, I go back to it. It's not the end of the world. If I was shaving every day or every other day over there, I might go 2 days right. without shaving. It's like it doesn't really matter. So, fact on that.
Jorge?
Yeah. When I was a waiter, they told me I couldn't wear shorts, right?
Ah.
So I look at the dress code and, you know, me and my buddies were just trying to be defiant because the manager or whatever. I ended up wearing shorts. They told me how to be knee-high shorts. I'm like, yeah, I play soccer. I don't mind wearing knee-high shorts. So
oh, that's funny.
Let's do it. So I had like Chuck kind of like work shoes.
Oh, yeah?
All black shoes. And then I'm wearing like, you know, UPS kind of short shorts.
You can deliver packages by day and grand slams by night.
Exactly.
Yeah. Walk around to see you. All right. So up next, again, another Met Gala related thing. So Ben Simmons was at the Met Gala. So this is his outfit if you haven't seen it yet. It's kind of a long overcoat with kind of a diagonal top third.
Who's this M? Who did you say?
Ben Simmons.
Okay.
Diagonal top third that is like a tweed checker print. And the rest is kind of this, like, tweed but all black. And it has, like, a little flower on it. And he's holding a briefcase with a clock on it for some reason. And the clock reads at just about, it's about 4:30. Okay? I don't know why it says that time. Maybe it's the time of day in New York City when a picture was
taken.
Time
for him to shoot.
Yeah, time for him to shoot. Who knows? So Ben Simmons
well
has
done,
been
Jorge.
A staple of the Met Gala because he does have a keen fashion sense. And people do like seeing him there. But my statement is, Ben Simmons is not famous enough to go to the Met Gala. Al, fetch a cap.
All right. I'm going to... It's a perfect example of this. This is fact. When you said what you said, I had to ask again because I'm like, wait a minute, did she say Ben Simmons? And my initial reaction was, well, why would Ben Simmons be there? Is Ben Simmons popular enough? Is he, like, what's the angle for Ben Simmons to be there? So 100% fact, I would have thought, yeah, he's not part of that. When you said that a lot of this is there's certain figures and it's people of high stature, yeah, fact. I didn't think Ben Simmons would be a part of that mold.
It's not only high stature, but also a high sense of fashion.
Yeah.
So they want people that are there
like Russell
that
Westbrook.
Take it seriously. Trav?
Look, I would imagine if you gave me a checklist of everybody that was at the Met Gala, I wouldn't know way more than half the names. So
sure.
I know his, and I understand that doing what I do, I'm more likely to run into Ben Simmons than some actor. I get that. So I don't know if he's famous enough or not because I don't know most of the people there. I do know this, and this is why I think it's Cap. He doesn't have enough shame not to show up for the Met Gala, right? That when you are robbing your employer of the millions of dollars that he is taking from, who is he? Is he officially a net at the moment?
Brooklyn
Sleep?
Right now.
Yeah.
We couldn't even tell.
No, I couldn't. I remember, you know how I knew he was a Brooklyn Net? Lakers were playing the Nets one time, and I was getting ready for the Darvin Ham interview, and I saw Ben Simmons walk by, and I'm like, I forgot he was on this team.
Yeah, I just don't know how you collect the money that Ben Simmons is being made with no intent of ever playing, with no desire to ever play, and then show up at a big party like, hey, y'all remember me?
Hey, I'm here.
That's just insane to me. Like, shame is a useful emotion if it's used properly. I don't want anybody to live in shame all the time, but, dude, fix your health problem, whatever it is, whether it's physical, mental, spiritual, whatever it is, and get back to work and earn your check. Don't be doing that. It's just crazy to me.
Jorge?
I guess it comes down to, like, also who you know, right? So he's
I guess.
From Brooklyn, his fashion, the whole thing.
And
so
he goes to the Met Gala a lot.
Exactly. So I guess it comes down to that.
All right.
Of all the stuff I saw, it's not the worst thing I've seen.
The best outfit to me was Dan Levy. He's the guy from Schitt's Creek. And his outfit, I think someone tagged you actually in it, Travis, that you could have worn this outfit. It's almost like his flowers are fading into black on the top of it. He has the best male outfit that I saw last night. And the best female outfit, I thought, was Saoirse Ronan and Nicole Krupp. Anyway, so there was a celebrity Wheel of Fortune. Actually, Clinton Yates sent me this clip this morning. So there's a celebrity Wheel of Fortune that happened. I don't know if it was yesterday, but it's in recent history. And so since you can't see it, I'm going to say what is filled in here. So I don't know what the prompt was, but this is what the Wheel of Fortune said. It said Jason and then an ampersand, Travis, and then it said E-L-C-E. Okay, so basically Jason and Travis Kelce.
Yep.
So this is the celebrities trying to figure out what this is supposed to mean. Kristen Ritter is one of the celebrities.
700. What letter would you like?
K.
Yeah, there's a K.
Okay. No one wants to.
All you have to do is read what's up there.
Travis and Jason Kels.
Yeah, there you go. We will take that. And I'll,
I don't know who they are.
Well, Sarah, tell them the whole story with the singer and the thing.
Well, it's a Taylor Swift thing. Sadly, it's the only reason why I know who.
Yeah, they're,
is it Travis
they're football
that
players
she's
and Taylor Swift.
It's one please.
You'll read it in your local newspapers.
Sajak's pretty funny.
It was pretty great. So it's kind of funny because you think that, especially with the year that both those brothers had, that it would be kind of synonymous at this point. But again, my statement is, no matter how famous you are, there are still going to be people who don't know who you are. I think maybe unless you're the president of the United States. Yeah. So no matter how famous you are, there are still people that don't know who you are. Jorge Fetrocap.
Fact. There's a lot of people that don't know who Messi is. And it blows my mind. So I was like, oh, yeah, I Miami came with Messi. Well, yeah, who's that? And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like this a short superstar, you know, that Travis impersonates here.
Hey, leave me out of it. I'm famous and I play in Miami and I went to the Grand Prix.
I want a juice box.
Travis. Don't want to go to Arrowhead at 9:30 at night.
I'm going to steal Keyshawn's story here real quick. Fact is the answer to your question. Keyshawn was it was in Cannes for the film festival. Jorge, you know
I
what
remember
I'm going to tell,
this
right?
One. This is a good one.
So he's there, and I think he's kind of being shown around by Brad Pitt, right? So Brad Pitt's introducing him to people, And he introduces, he brings somebody over to Key and says, oh, hey, this is Keyshawn. And he goes, oh, hey, it's nice to meet you, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And Key's like, yeah, cool, man. It's all good. It's all good. And he says, what do you do? And the guy gives him his big smile like, is this for real? and he's like, I'm a musician.
Mm.
And he goes, okay. And he's got an Irish accent. And he walks away. And Brad Pitt comes back. He's like, what'd you think of that? He goes, yeah, who is that guy? And Pitt looks at Key. He's like, are you kidding me? He goes, no, who was that? He goes, that's Bono.
Yeah.
And he's like, who's Bono? He's like, never mind. Again, you know, he didn't know who he was. So Bono is one of the more recognizable, famous people in the world. And Keyshawn had no idea who he was.
I thought the story was going to be, it's Marty Scorsese or like Steven Spielberg too. Yeah,
Bono.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Al?
Fact. 100% fact. I think, look, it also just depends. I mean, you might not be, let's use sports as an example. Somebody could be a very, very casual sport or not a sports fan at all. Like, they don't know anything about sports. Like, you use the example of Messi. That's a crazy one, but I get it. That probably happens. David Beckham, Cristiano Ronaldo, LeBron James. It's crazy that they don't know it, but if I flipped it the other way and you were, and there's probably a lot of really, really famous musicians that you know that everybody knows, and I'd be like, yeah, I don't know if I know that song. Maybe it's just the song that I don't know.
Yeah.
I know Taylor Swift. That's an easy one. Yeah. There's some of those top ones. But I do think fact. There's definitely, and that's a great story on Keyshawn, but I'm sure that happens.
I'm a musician. Oh, cool. Good luck with that. Thanks.
Hopefully it turns out okay.
No, that's exactly what he said. Remember?
He said good luck with that. Yeah. Like he was an up-and-coming guy.
That's really good. What are you playing, like your garage or?
Bono. I love it.
Let me know
it.
If you're ever in L.A., Bono.
Yeah, let me know if you come through and you need any help.
Yeah, I'll hook you up. Place to crash.
I know somebody at a local bar if you ever want to perform.
Jamal Murray not only played bad, but he might not get to play at all coming up. That's next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
All right, we all know about this new breaking news from Pizza Hut. Right now, any medium pizza with any of your favorite toppings are all just $12. By the way, look at all these different styles, and it's still $12. You get hand-tossed. Get thin and crispy. You get original pan crust, still $12. All right, how about the different recipes? Meat lovers, supreme, still $12. Any topping, sausage, pepperoni, peppers, olives, whatever you want on there. Onions. I love onions on my pizza. Still just $12. Any medium pizza right now for $12. Order now on the Pizza Hut app or at pizzahut.com.
Rams running back Kyren Williams scheduled to join us at 12:30, so about 40 minutes from right now. Kyren Williams was a giant difference maker in what the Rams did last year.
And kind of a surprise because he, honestly, if he had been healthy for the entirety of the season, who knows? He got to challenge Christian McCaffrey for some of the numbers that he put up.
Absolutely.
Because in the time that after he came back from his injury and that same time with Christian McCaffrey, they were virtually identical. Like, and Christian McCaffrey was maybe the MVP of the season last year.
Yep.
And so it's just kind of, I hope that this year is a healthy one for Kyren and that he can kind of live up to last year.
Out of nowhere for you, for me, and I think for most Rams fans, you know who was on that? And this is the why, with Sean McVay, Emily, you and I were actually talking about this. A lot of times Sean McVay talks and he says a lot of things. You're like, yeah, I don't know how much information was in there. He's very good at talking without tipping his hand. There are three players that I have heard him talk about as the head coach of this team that were kind of off the radar that he's like, I'm telling you, this guy's different. He's special. He's really good. Keep your eye on him. He's going to make a big difference on this team. You're like, yeah, he's just talking up his guys. Cooper Kupp, when he first got to the Rams, Kyren Williams, and Puka Nacua are guys that he all went out of his way. I know they're down pick, but we have really high hopes for these guys.
Yeah, Puka was the talk of training camp last year.
Absolutely. And so and Kyren, long before it, it's like, you mean that fifth round guy? I don't know. Really? All right, whatever. And then he got hurt right away and he never played. And every time they talk about Cam Akers or Daryl Henderson or Ronnie Rivers or any of the guys that they brought through there, he would always say, well, when we get Kyren back, he's going to make a big difference. And it's like, he never even played fifth round. He was right.
How do you guys feel coming into this season? Because I think the expectations, kind of the way I view the Rams right now, you had Aaron Donald obviously gone. And that in itself just kind of changes my entire scope of however I looked at the franchise, however I looked at the team. It does change it, Trav. Like, it's impossible to not think, well, if you had a lot of optimism, I have optimism that the Rams know what they're doing. I have optimism in Matthew Stafford. I have optimism that they're going to put points on the board. I have optimism in Sean McVay. I have optimism. But if you're saying in the scope of the NFC,
yeah,
losing a player like that, how much has that kind of changed your view? And I also think this is just something to keep in mind. If they were a surprise last year,
yep,
because everyone was expecting, are they really going to make any noise? They're probably not going to make any noise. They're not going to catch anybody. They're not going to shock anybody this year. I think teams will be preparing for them a lot different than probably they were preparing for them a year ago.
So I think that is an interesting point to bring up because I think the offensive side of the ball, I think people will know what the offensive side of the Rams is going to look like. Puka and Cooper, hopefully, being great. Kyren being great. And maybe Blake Corum going in there too. But I think the interesting part that might cause some surprise, don't know what you're going to get, is the defense. Okay, so they didn't just fill in Aaron Donald with whomever was the best person at position that's on the market. They filled with a bunch of draft picks.
Which I like that.
They don't know what they have yet, so that also means the other teams don't know what they have yet. So maybe there's a world in which they have an element, quote-unquote, of surprise, and that they can be better than expected, because that's what we've been seeing with the Rams over and over again the past couple seasons, that there are people that we don't expect to be great that end up being great.
I think their variance on defense is almost incalculable. With Aaron Donald there, it's impossible to try to predict what it's going to be. We haven't seen a Rams defense without Aaron Donald in forever.
And, you know, I think what's interesting, again, maybe it's not apples to apples because they're completely different sports. But remember this season when the Lakers, without AD and without LeBron, beat the Boston Celtics?
Sure.
So maybe there's a world in which, without AD, even though he's the greatest person at that position that has played the NFL, most likely.
Mm-hmm.
AD, Aaron Donald, AD, Anthony Davis.
Right.
Okay.
But the idea that those, it'll have everybody else step up. And you're not just getting one person, you're guarding six people. There's no one getting double teamed
Very
anymore.
Optimistic view.
Yeah, it is.
I have a difficult time of thinking that. That's why I think this season is going to be very curious, because it's very tough to try to predict what you're going to see.
I mean,
the Lakers without LeBron James, you know, we don't want to see that because he's the greatest player of all time.
I don't think they're better without him, but they're going to be a lot different. I think they can be good without him. I don't know if they can be as, like Em said, you're taking a potential best ever candidate off the board. That's never good news, but they add Tre'Davious White. He's healthy. He's not just good. He's very good. They're bringing back Darius Williams, who, you know, say what you want, he's probably their best defensive back if he were on the team last year. He's coming back. They spent a ton of draft picks on that side of the ball. They're going to try to fill a bunch of holes as opposed to the gaping hole left by Aaron Donald. And I think that's the best you can do. Could it be worse? Sure, it could. Because Aaron Donald's not there.
Sure.
And that's just, we're going to find out. I think what's far more important than that is Puka going to be close to what he did? Because to say he's going to be as good is asking way too much. Cooper Kupp needs to be better. Kyren Williams needs to be healthier. Matthew Stafford needs to be as good as he was a year ago. That offensive line needs to be as steady and as healthy as it was a year ago. Their kicking game needs to be a lot better than it was a year ago. So if you get a little bit better everywhere else and your defense is either kind of similar but different or maybe slightly less than because Donald's not there, I think you can cover some of those holes, but you can't. It's Aaron Donald. What are you going to do? Right? I mean, there is no just, oh, we'll just get this.
No,
unless Warren Sapp is walking through that door from, you know, 25 years ago, there's no replacing that guy. He's one of one, and it's not going to happen. You know who else might be one of one? Anthony Edwards. What is going on with that guy? And, oh, by the way, Jamal Murray might not even be here for game three. I want to talk about that. There's a case to say, yeah, you're done for a game, and there's a case to leave him in. That's next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.